can handle the truth. Truth.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take
control. Into Hour 2, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam Truth Radio Broadcast, with my most honored guest, Dr. Alan Sabrowski, RTR Truth Media, ResurrectTheRepublic.com. You can go and share this episode around, or you can go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, RTRTruthMedia.com as well. And, you know, folks, we're doing a pledge drive right now, so all of that. I'll get to you more about that at the end of the show. Dr. Sabrowski, sorry about the breaks. That kind of pays the bills around here, the commercials.
Not a problem. Have you recovered from your shock yet?
Yeah, I'm back from it. this is something that Bruce and I have been, and Lori too, we've been fighting against this. I've been struggling with, you know, people have asked me, do you think we can pull out of this? And I said, well, we've been at this for so long, it's hard to say. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry you keep getting interrupted.
No. It's it really doesn't matter now. You know, you have such a huge bureaucracy. Most of the things that we're dealing with internally now aren't a function of congressional behavior. They're not even a function of Obama's executive action and cabinet secretaries that are making decisions that are then enforced by the federal judiciary.
Well, look what they did to Jim Trafficking. Look what they did to him.
Sure. And since the Supreme Court, with the assistance of Chief Justice Roberts and two separate decisions, took the cap off external funding in the political process, you know, local individuals and groups can't possibly compete.
Do you know where it all started, sir? Do you know where that all started in our American history and our American experience? With the forcing into law of the 14th Amendment. They used, this is what makes me angry, because some people say that, oh, you want to bring back slavery, you're attacking the 14th Amendment. They used the cause and the suffering of some to create corporate personhood, to create, and in fact, they actually altered the definitions of two of the words that were going to be in the 14th Amendment 2 years prior, citizen and person. They redefined as to also mean corporation. See, we were supposed to be citizens of our respective state, not the 10-mile square in D.C. When they forced the 14th Amendment into law under the Reconstruction period, or the basically martial law that they had at the time, what they did was created a federal citizenship that the Founding Fathers never, ever, ever, ever intended. Never. They destroyed 50% of the check and balance system that was the Constitutional Republic.
Yeah, but Tom,
shattered. Yes, sir. Bruce, are you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah, but Tom.
Yeah, Bruce.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that was only done supposedly for the 11 southern states. That's where the sole country's off whack. If anyone ever took the time to read the actual Congressional Act by the 39th Congress, known as the Reconstruction Acts, it's in that PDF. Send them a link. Approach the link. It's a congressional act to create a more efficient
form of government.
A more efficient form of government.
They did not have the authority to change or alter the form of the government. The Constitution bound them.
The paragraph says it all.
Yes.
It names the former 11 Confederate states that this more efficient government is being created for.
Yes.
Now, common sense, and after 150 years, nobody's ever asked, how the other 39 states usurp under the same government that was only created and only authorized for the 11 former Confederate states and named them by names in the Reconstruction Act and off of the 11 former Confederate states, and Florida and all them on there, but Oregon's not on there, California, New York's not on there, Arizona's not on there. How do they wind up under the same government? The reason I point this out is, the 39th Congress, by their own admission, said that in a congressional globe it was unconstitutional for them to create a different government than what the framers originally established. But because they were only creating it for the former 11 rebel states that were said not to have lawful governments because they were rebels, they weren't entitled to rights, so it didn't matter. Now, that's the same government now that California has, and they've never been a rebel state, neither has New York, neither has Nevada, neither has Arizona, New Mexico,
or Oregon.
Montana, there you go, the Bundy Ranch in Nevada and the Hammonds in Oregon, Washington. I mean, somebody should pick up on this. I mean, how did the other 39 states usurp? And then I should tell you something else. Now that the other 39 states, this is another common sense thing, this is no conspiracy crap, now that the other 39 states usurped under the same government that was only created and authorized for the 11 southern states in 1867, and this obvious, indeed, inevitable conclusion is the original government don't exist in any of them now, because they all usurped under the government that was created for the southern states in 1867. Not one remained.
That's right. And one of the...
Even though they weren't authorized, that government was never created for any other state, and it was never authorized for any other state. Take the time to read the actual Reconstruction Act that the 39th Congress authorized.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And see, what Bruce is illustrating here is that this has been part of a maniacal plan over the course of time to usurp our sovereignty. And now you can follow the chain of events all the way to things like the TPP.
Well, Tom, and here's even a big factor. And the ATF told Montana and all the everyone else that they have jurisdiction over guns, even the ones made in Montana in their state borders, when they tried to say the Ninth Amendment gave them a right to make bullets and guns in their state, and the ATF couldn't do crap about it. And
that's
they
right.
said, yeah, we can. The 14th Amendment gives us jurisdiction.
Bingo.
Well, the 14th Amendment was part of Reconstruction. And Reconstruction was only a government created for those southern states, the 11 former Confederate states. It never should have applied to Montana either.
That's right. And if you notice right now, all of the land, if you look at the map of the BLM land grabs, all that kind of stuff, Doc, you'll see that all of these states are lit up like a Christmas tree of federal land takeovers as well. And so that's one of the things that Bruce and I do. We delve back into the history of this, and we found that, you know, in many ways, we're really under a soft form of martial law and have been since the Civil War.
Tom, why do you think the 14th Amendment was ratified by a fake executive order?
Oh, yeah.
Six,
Presidential
Directives 11.
Dr. Sobrowski. Dr. Sobrowski, being from the U.S. Army War College, one of the most important things that Bruce and I wanted to share with you was this very fact. Bruce, go ahead.
Okay, now I show in my video where every member of Congress got a CRS report prepared for committees and members of Congress from the United States State Department. I show an updated version in 2008. The original came out in 2000, and they updated it every other year until 2012, and that was the last copy. And page 5, which is CRS-2, top paragraph, is where I took the research from. Now, Congress all got a copy of this. It don't matter if they make it disappear or not, because I've actually got the quote from Wall, and I've got the actual document, so it don't matter. But page 5 made clear that the 14th Amendment was ratified by Executive Order 6 that was signed by the signature of the Secretary of State,
William
not
Seward.
The President.
Yep. William H. Seward.
That was July 20, 1868. ordered lawfully published by Executive Order 7 that was also signed by the Secretary of State.
And disallowed
by the President of the United States.
Who, by the way, the President of the United States gave two separate veto addresses on the 14th Amendment, stating that the 14th Amendment was unconstitutional and was radical. By the way,
and went as far as to say if the Congress goes ahead with the Reconstruction Acts, they will make the law itself unlawful in America,
which it did,
a de facto government,
which it did.
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just quoted the President of the United States, March 2nd, 1867, Andrew Johnson.
This is all in the CRS reports. Now we have
Now let me finish what I was saying about that.
Go.
Fake Executive Order 6. Because it wasn't a real executive order, the bottom the top paragraph on page 5, which is CRS-2, makes clear, because it's not a real executive order, it was booked in page with the presidential directives. And it gives the quote in law, and I show them in my video, President, if fake Executive Order 6 is Presidential Directive 11, which the appendix to 11, the Secretary even expressed serious doubt that these two-thirds of the states constitutionally adopted the 14th Amendment, and went on to say that a couple other states, Ohio, I think, and New Jersey, that withdrew their support for the 14th Amendment, but they're still counting them as if they didn't.
I can confirm that. My congressman of New Jersey was Senator Stockton, and he came back to the House, and he stood in the House and said that the integrity of the United States Senate had been molested. This was the senator of a northern state who sent northern soldiers to die in that war. So, essentially, sir, we were taken over by a coup a long time ago. And they just wore the same clothing and marched to the same nationalism. But go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead.
You can find that in law when the Louisiana legislator, 10 years after the Georgia legislator, declared the 14th Amendment was never constitutionally adopted. And on the Congressional Record, page 156401, Judge Lander H. Perez, it was memorialized on the House floor, made it clear that the 14th Amendment was like rebels with pens instead of guns that overthrew our constitutions and the institutions that it set up.
And to make a marking point here, all roads to this lead to the Rothschilds. And of
Tom,
course, we see. Go ahead.
Every jurisdiction in America today, the national debt, every citizen of the United States owes, 400 whatever thousand on it?
Yep.
That was created by 14th Amendment Section 4, which not only created the public debt Section 4, the middle of it says you have no right to question the validity of the public debt. Now, remember, this was ratified by fake Executive Order 6, which is Presidential Directive 11. Which the president gave two veto addresses against. And it was a part of Reconstruction, which is only made for the 11 southern states anyway.
Right.
Now, this is the same jurisdiction that is enforcing gun control all over America. Income tax, hey, only the citizen of the United States is the only one who's responsible to pay it. And remember, once again, at the 14th Amendment creation, and the little tricky thing that these fellas did, I mean, they did everything backwards. And like Tom was pointing out with the double-meaning words, they took it upon himself in 1862 to redefine the meaning of the word person.
And citizen.
Well, they did state, too, in 1864. They redefined the word state in 64 to mean District of Columbia and Territories. But in 1862, they redefined the meaning of the word person to include the definition corporation. So in 1868, when the 14th Amendment made all persons, which is corporations, and I got a Supreme Court case on that, too, Metropolitan Life Insurance Company versus Ward, Alabama,
yes.
Says a person is a corporation within the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
So, yes, when the 14th Amendment made all persons, which is corporations, citizens of the United States, now I got another Supreme Court case on that, but it's online. I don't know off the top of my head.
If the 14th Amendment had ever... Oh, go ahead.
Supreme Court says the legal term United States has several meanings and gives three different definitions
right.
To the legal term United States. Now, I want to raise a question that every citizen in the United States, we've been told from cradle to grave, they've never once told us which of the three of those legal terms, if any or all, even apply to our citizenship that we're subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Hey, it could be three different entities. I mean, we're told our country is the United States of America. Well, that's a different legal term. I'm talking the legal term United States. You're not a citizen of the United States of America. That's a different legal term.
Yep. And see, here,
now,
here's...
when you start to clear that smoke up, you start to say, now, wait a minute. You take money out of my paycheck every week because I'm a citizen of an amendment ratified by a fake executive order, which is a part of Reconstruction. That was only supposed to be for 11 southern states 5 generations ago that were said not to have lawful governments.
Yep. Same monstrosity that created the Federal Reserve. Same monstrosity that brought about the birth certificate.
Oh, let's talk about that a second, Thomas. Let me have the
Well, floor. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. We have a guest, man. We shared some information with him.
My bad.
Doctor, that's okay. Dr. Sobrowski. I know that
I'm listening. I'm listening and learning. Keep talking.
Okay, good, because I would hope that as a... I figured that. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Anyway... Now, we know about what happened in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, and we know what happened with that income tax in 1916. You had to start paying it to the Internal Revenue Service, which is a branch of the U.S. Treasury. But here's what they didn't tell you, and you got to take my word for nothing. Go to Google and Google this one on your own. 41 statute at large. That's the laws the 66th Congress did from the year 1919 to 1921. Now, remember, go to page 654. You can't remember it, just remember 454 Chevy and add 200 to it, real easy, 654, and read it. You'll see where the U.S. Treasury was given to the Federal Reserve Bank. They had to pay for the furniture and stuff in 1920. Now, remember how they talk about how the big this cover-up must be? Now, think about it. 96 years ago, this entity was given to the Federal Reserve Bank. Read it for yourself, the next two pages on that. Now, there's no evidence in history. They put me on hold for 5 minutes and hung up on me. They can't IRS in Texas. There's nowhere in history where they can point out where this entity known as the U.S. Treasury has ever been given back to Congress. Now, 96 years later, they still pay everybody in Washington their paycheck. Who gets their paycheck? Who pays Obama their paycheck? And all the senators and all them other dirty people. Who gets their check? The U.S. Treasury.
And
who pays your income tax?
Oh, yeah.
By the way. Which is a branch of the U.S. Treasury.
By the way, political action committees and them giving all the funds in the elections, all of that was, that all came after the 14th Amendment. It's like the lynchpin.
But there's one more little thing you got to know.
What's that?
And I'm done. I'm going to get back to our guest. I'm sorry. Then 13 years later, yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, on March 9th, 1933, uh-huh. declared a national emergency,
yep.
Citizens of the United States to be enemies of the Federal Reserve banking system, and put the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, gave a martial power over gold, silver, currency, and persons and citizens of the United States.
Yep.
What did they do just 13? What happened 13 years before that? Oh, yeah. They gave that U.S. Treasury to the Federal Reserve Bank.
Yes.
Now think about it. Go read these documents, and it gets real scary. You wouldn't have any of this ceremonial crap up there is even real.
See, here within lies the problem, that these same ones that we see, the very same ones that the likes of Silverstein and Chertoff and all of their little goon squad nutcases, this has been a generational plot to overthrow from Cloward Piven, Karl Marx. We're being hit from so many different angles, from so many different disciplines that are originated from the same source. It all traces itself back to these banker wars, the Rothschild dynasty, and even, sir, it goes back to, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, the original 13th Amendment. Have you heard of the original 13th Amendment? The title, some people call it the Title of Nobility Amendment. Dr. Sobrowski, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the original 13th Amendment?
No, I have not.
This is something that you need to look into, especially from your background. I'll send you over some research on it. In 1812, of the War of 1812, Rothschild sent the British Army into Washington, D.C. for one purpose. They burnt down the White House. They burnt down our archives. But they left the British Patent Office, of course. What they destroyed And what we found after going through state libraries across this nation was an original 13th Amendment that made foreign association within the United States government something that you would lose your citizenship for. Now, you wouldn't necessarily be deported, understand. Some people call this the Anti-Lawyer Amendment. They mistake the intention of our founders at the time that they put this into law. They knew that the one way that our nation would be taken over is from treason from within. This was the safeguard that they gave us to protect ourselves from those like Chertoff, who would be dual citizens, who would come in and compromise the security of our nation for the security of another nation. And that is why I brought this up with you. This is just not the mere foundation of our research. We've traced this plot to what happened on 9/11/2001 all the way back. We know the players. We know what they did. We know how they did it. We know why they did it. We know who benefited. And all roads led to the creation of the Zionist state of Israel by the Rothschilds. Again, all wars are bankers' wars. Just like I know you're familiar with War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler.
Mm-hmm. You know he was from the Philadelphia mainline family. I think he was the wealthiest officer in the Marine Corps at the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And in my opinion, one of the highest integrity.
Yeah, and 2 medals of honor.
Yes, sir. I have nothing but absolute adoration for that man, because what he did when he realized, when he said, when you heard him say to Al Capone, he ain't got nothing on me. What did he have? A couple barrows? I had what? The Eastern Seaboard for corporate interests, which is fascism. He woke up. He had a moment of clarity when they came to him and they were going to overthrow again, because it was, this has been, quite oddly a tug of war, of course. But they did it. They ended up doing it by other means. When JFK was shot, you see the Bush characters, all the Trotskyites lined up around that too. And right to the creation, going back to the creation of the state of Israel and what Jack Kennedy was trying to expose, or at least I wouldn't even say expose. I think that he was what Kennedy was trying to do in some respects was make certain people aware of the power that Israel had. They didn't like that at all. He was going to shed the light on Dimona and what they were doing there. And I think that that had every bit to do with, if not directly, I know that at least 3 different forces aligned to take him out. These aren't conspiracy theories. These are just, it's funny how the CIA has coined this term, conspiracy theory, that they attach. Well, what is ancient history but a series of plots to take power or what have you? So I guess tracing back to this, the U.S. Army worker, were you aware that the Lieber Codes itself that was enacted during the Civil War, General Orders 100, is still being used in nations outside of the United States where we have military bases? And you can look this up. I mean, you Google this, and actually you can look this up. They're actually operating under the Lieber Codes in other nations. Our military. It is almost my position that the Rothschild Army took over, and essentially, from the point of the Civil War forward, have been pimping the United States Army out on foreign wars of oppression of other nations that are of no threat to us. That is my personal belief.
Well, Tom, you know what? Well, can I add one thing to that?
Add one thing, but then I want the doc to respond.
Section 32 of the original Lieber Code, April 1st, 1863, required a treaty of peace to be signed amongst the states to resolve the martial power. And you'll never show me where a treaty of peace has ever been signed amongst the states. In fact, Texas versus White, the U.S. Supreme Court said in 1869, we never had a civil war. The southern states were only rebels. They never left the Union. So therefore, there never was a treaty of peace. and therefore they're still riding on the same power, martial power, established April 1st, 1863. There you go.
It was never relinquished, is what we're saying. The size of the military itself, the size of the military-industrial complex, for lack of a better term, which we believe that many world wars were triggered intentionally to build, to cause the need for the public to, of course, agree to pay to build these huge industries and apparatus of huge financial profit and gain. If you trace the money back and follow the money, the one thing that my stepfather, he's a retired detective for the prosecutor's office. And the one thing that he taught me in any investigation, follow the money. And when you follow the money and you follow the interests, this leads to one place, and that is the House of Rothschild, in my opinion. So we see these J.P. Morgan huge banks that get bailed out while American citizens lose their homes. They're destabilizing us from within via the Cloward Piven, and now you see social justice warriors all over the place. Of course, we see this transgender nonsense, this insanity. Transgenderism. This is a mental illness, and these people should be treated with respect, kindness, and be treated. We have people that have come forward that say, you know, this is seriously one of the biggest leading hoaxes upon the public. We're seeing Marxist, cultural Marxism all over the United States flaring up since this president has been in office. And I have to agree with you. I have a maybe sometimes a dim look. But anyway, are you at least following along and getting what Bruce was relaying there, Doc?
Yeah, I've been listening to both of you. Go ahead.
Now, my question is this. From what you've discovered I didn't want to go over the same material that I've shared of yours a million times. Everybody knows that. The 9/11 attacks, how they went down, the Israelis that were arrested on scene. This creation of Christian Zionism back in the late 1800s to early 1900s that manifested this the evangelical movement. This was a plot. Theodor Herzl even said that first the Jews would have to go through a great suffering, a great Holocaust. The 6 million was a number that came about before World War II. We hear about the Holocaust time and time and time and time again, which dead or dead. But what about several many more million Christians that were slayed at the hands of the Bolsheviks? Does our army, when you were inside the U.S. Army War College, do our historians understand this history that we've shared with you tonight? Any of them?
I don't recall it being discussed because it was a very military focus. People studied wars, campaigns. The National Defense University is the one that would deal with the grand issues, if you wish.
That, my friend.
Within the service war colleges, it's more a function of preparing individuals for specific command responsibilities, how to employ the forces and the joint forces with which they might be operating in the most effective manner.
Maybe that's part of the problem. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors on that. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic. Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We're on the line with a very respected man who I've followed for several years, sharing his information with as many people as I could, because I do believe in every single thing that I've heard the man say. And one of the reasons why, Dr. Sobrosky, we wanted to share this with you is this isn't conspiracy theory. You see, Bruce and I go back and we read the congressional records. We read the state house records. We're not talking about third-party conspiratorial websites. Okay? We're talking about our own records, our own government records. And we've been infiltrated. And it's the bankers, mostly, the banking interests. It's not just reduced, of course, to Jews. I mean, most Jews are like most Americans. In fact, many of them are atheistic and really non-religious, and they have a national identity, but they really don't. They're like most Americans are. I see. I see this as architectures of government. So you've said that you know, a lot of, you're not familiar with a lot of this stuff. I would like to propose that we share some of this historical fact about our recent history. I mean, I know generals that have spoken and that have studied in detail the wars going back into the Roman republics and all of their best generals, and they know their histories. I am quite sure, sir, that there are people in our government that know every single thing that Bruce and I have shared. It is the legal jurisdiction by which they believe they have this authority to operate in more than anything that what we were supposed to be, which was non-interventionalists. Our founders did not believe in any way in getting into foreign entanglements, which was when they saw this rising, when Rothschild infiltrated our government via the Bar Association, British Accreditation Registry.
You know, that bit on foreign entanglements is not correct.
Well, then please correct me.
We were every bit as much of an expansionist power as Tsarist Russia.
Were we, though? Where did we expand? Where did we expand into?
We expanded across this continent. There were people in the way, and they weren't ours.
Well,
we waged wars. We took over Spanish Florida, occupied the Louisiana.
Good point. No, I stand corrected on that.
Fomented an insurrection in Texas to separate it from Mexico, from the Republic of Mexico. Fomented a war with Mexico to get California, the Southwest.
I agree with you there, too.
The first foreign war we waged was with Spain, and that was, we took the Philippines, but it was principally to get Cuba and some possessions in the Caribbean. We were every bit as expansionist. We just didn't go for the great colonies overseas.
Good point.
The British and the French couldn't expand except with a major war, so they went off to Africa and the Middle East and Asia.
Good point.
The United States and Russia expanded across the continent. Neither one had a great number of overseas colonies, but they conquered.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely did. You know, it's been Imperial America right from the start. And it was every bit as much the case in the early part of late 18th and early 19th century. Certainly the indigenous peoples here would think that. Certainly the Mexicans think that. Certainly the French thought that. Certainly the Spanish thought that. Certainly anyone who was in our way thought that. Even Hawaii, for God's sake.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
That's
too.
Imperial America or Imperial Russia. And whether you call it an imperial democracy or an imperial monarchy, the net effect is they expanded. And then when the expansion was complete, the rest of the world had already been taken over by various of the colonial powers. And that's when we got into our 20th century wars.
Yeah. Well, One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, sir, do I expect to speak to somebody who had held the positions that you had and only share some of my research without being corrected? Oh, no. I am always learning, sir. I am always learning, and I'm always expanding my horizons.
You know, we can actually do that if you wish. You just put a little flash on my phone and tell me when I'm supposed to agree with you, and I'll start agreeing.
No, I would never have that. I would never have that. See, that is one of the foundations that I do know that we were supposed to keep sacrosanct, you know. And one of the things that I believe that made us great for as long as we were great was that many people at least could express themselves without being silenced, which we see happening now greatly.
I just saw something a few hours ago that a Catholic university, Marymount in Los Angeles, is being investigated by the LA police for a hate crime. And the hate crime was a member of the staff expressed the belief that there are only two genders.
Yeah. Well, I would, if I were to be the one charged with that crime, I would probably defend it as follows. By the dictates of my own conscience and religious faith, I do not participate in Marxist values, ideologies, or insanity, or mental illness. Thank you. Have a nice day. I would probably go to jail, but I would sleep every night in the jail with a smile on my face, knowing that at least I got to tell the truth.
I have the feeling sometime that the way American society is going is what the Mad Hatter would have created on a very bad day.
Oh, yeah.
It just... But the difficulty, so let's take one more step on this. What do we do about this?
That's what I want to get to.
What do we do about it? Both parties are, for all practical purposes, compromised. The constitutional order is compromised. The media is dominant.
Whoa!
The money is controlled. How... When media and money and politics and constitution are four avenues that are all closed, what does one do?
Collapse the banks when you know that they're on to you? That's what I think they're going to do.
How about a treaty of peace?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I don't know if that would... I don't know how many people we could get on board with that quick enough, though, Bruce. What do you think, Doc? What do you think? What do you think we can do? Even if you think that we can't do it, I'm one of those people. I am a spiritual man. Mm-hmm. I believe that God is things we could. If we all put our might into something, we could really do something. What would you suggest, sir?
I think we passed the tipping point and it's too late. And what it's going to take is essentially an economic catastrophe that's going to make the Great Depression look like a walk in the park.
Yep, that's kind of what
I'm
expecting.
It's going to be something that bad. And at that point, we're going to understand why the Second Amendment was so important.
Yep. I hate to say, you know, I'd like to blow sunshine up your skirt there, Doc, and say that I disagree with you. And
Tom, this may come as a shock to you, but I don't wear skirts.
No, yeah, I know. It's just an expression. It's just an expression.
I know.
But I know.
It's a Jersey expression.
Yeah.
I lived in Camden for a little while, so I'm familiar with it.
Okay, that's where my father had his first law practice. You know,
really?
our family goes way back into the Greek Senate. My father was a lawyer and a judge, and we have family going way back in our family. One of my cousins, I believe, was on the Watergate trial. Yep. Yes. Yeah. There's some folks there, and if you trace my mom's side of the family back, we're Sons of Liberty out of Ethan Allen's. Green Mountain Boys, my family, the Stewart side, Dodson, Crandall, Andrews, Borden, Fall River, Massachusetts, Plymouth, Boston, and Montpelier, Vermont. That's pre-Revolutionary War era.
Interesting. My first teaching appointment was at Middlebury College.
Yes, I saw that.
I would have stayed there if I could have, but
it's
I would
beautiful.
Have had to remove someone, and it would have been too obvious that the person disappeared and I was there to take the position. You can't do that. But that was a beautiful area, beautiful state, beautiful school.
Clean water, beautiful, beautiful.
Yep.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
You fellas, and I, what I mean by you fellas, the folks at that have been involved in the protection of our nation and who I know have patriotic beliefs and mindsets. I know your heart. We've been going by, instead of historians, we've been following warmongers. I think that's the problem. I think the problem here is that my people suffer from a lack of knowledge. And I don't mean knowledge in intellect. I mean knowledge in just factual information that has been probably skirted away, withheld, or suppressed from the mainstream for so long by people who knew how to do it, that it's time for all of us to possibly expand our horizons and look outside the box. Because I do believe that it is our responsibility, in fact, our duty, that when a government becomes destructive to the ends by which it was created, it's not we should or it suggests that we might. It's our duty. Now, whether we win or lose, only God can tell, and only time will show. But in my opinion, sir, if folks at the U.S. Army War College and at West Point, Valley Forge Military Academy that I attended, if these folks, and I know for a fact that one of the Green Beret colonels that taught me when I was a child, I was 12 years old, and I was troubled about some things. And this gentleman pulled me aside many an afternoon and sat down and talked to me about my nation's history and where we were going. And this man, with all the knowledge he had, basically told me that he was preparing me for the eventual collapse that the bankers were going to bring about on this nation, and that we should have listened to Andrew Jackson. This was a Green Beret colonel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not saying Jackson was perfect by any stretch, because he had a dark side. Like many of our founders, if you look into their history, they're men. Men are imperfect. However, when we talk about the Second Amendment, those men created something that has lived on in the hearts and minds, kind of spoken and taught to me like that Green Beret who forced me to read The Art of War. Knowing thine enemy is essential. If you don't know every element of your enemy, there's no way that you could ever overcome. That's why we do this history. I think
there's one other thing in addition to knowing your enemy.
What's that?
You know yourself.
Good point. Touche. God, I'm so glad that we have this chat.
God bless. It's really true, and that's the hardest part, because it's sometimes possible. Excuse me. It's sometimes possible to view not only your enemy but your friends with a certain amount of detachment.
Yes.
It is never really possible to view yourself with much detachment. And when I say yourself, I don't mean ourselves as individuals. I mean ourselves, our society, our country. Yeah, there's always a filter there that isn't anywhere near as dramatic as the when we look at other countries. You know, most of us, for example, we're sort of brought up with the idea that, you know, we were the good guys. At least in World War II, we were the good guys. And it was well after I was in the Marines before I started understanding about the firebombings of German and Japanese cities. Deliberate act of policy to burn up a few million people.
That's a good point.
We just didn't think of it. And when we not only didn't think of it, the initial reaction was disbelief. And it took a while beyond that, which is exactly the same phenomenon that's in play on 9/11 and on the wars that we're waging now in the Middle East and elsewhere. It's an initial assumption, but we are the good guy, even when we're not.
Well, I know.
It's a disbelief that we, in fact, what was that film? It's American Soldier. I told you, you know, when the wolf crawls at the door, there is an inherent disbelief on the part of anyone that they themselves are the wolves at the door. And it doesn't, not just Americans, it's others too. It's that fundamental disbelief. And at differing degrees in different countries and different societies, but we are instinctively reluctant to acknowledge that, in fact, we are the evil.
Well, can I say that I believe... I don't
not
believe that.
We have become that.
Well, the evil has penetrated us from within by several different ways. Cloward Piven is one. Communitarianism, which I know that I have a friend hanging on the line that wants to ask you a question. He's an RBN host, too. Do you mind taking a few callers, Doc, before
we...
Lark in Texas. Sorry about that, Lark. I just kept getting caught up in the conversation.
That's all right. I'm delighted to hang and hear a few words from Dr. Sobrowski. I've long wanted to say a few words and hear a few responses from him. And, of course, I could wax eloquent, as you know, about the Civil War.
Yeah.
I mean, Abraham Lincoln, Judah P. Benjamin, Charles Dana, Edwin M. Stanton. I mean, Franz Lieber.
Yep.
General Orders 100. I mean... You know, when I met you and Bruce, I recommended to you all read an article. It's heavily footnoted. It's simply called Jews Caused the Civil War. Mm. Who won the Civil War? No one won the Civil War. American people lost it.
Badly.
And we also lost World War One, and we lost World War Two, and we lost Vietnam, and we lost Iraq, we lost Afghanistan. We've lost every single war since. We're not the good guys in World War One or Two. Now, here's my only question. I know you were at the Army War College at an earlier time in terms of the years that you graduated, the years that you taught, Dr. Sobrowski. But there is a man who is a professor of emeritus at George Washington University who's been called a special policy advisor to every American president since Jimmy Carter. He founded the Communitarian Network in 1990. It has infiltrated every university campus in this country, including the Army War College, because one of his many books, some 30, was entitled Security First for a Moral Muscular Foreign Policy.
Oh, yeah.
And that book, along with many others, is actually a textbook used in the curriculum at the Army War College. So here's my question for you, sir, and I'll get off to let you close the show out, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Because I have to tell you, I've been a little bit angry just listening to what I've heard tonight. Not because of any of the content, but, you know, it really sickens me and saddens me what has happened to this country.
Me too.
And the way all of us have been socialized and brainwashed.
Yep.
And the question I have for you, sir, is this. Do you think the top brass in the U.S. military has been brainwashed?
No. Not brainwashed, but they've been very carefully selected.
Bingo.
To conform to this administration's foreign policy positions and defense policy positions.
And all others
and,
purged.
And it not so much purge as not reaching the top line. There was... You know, for example, just something that has nothing to do with foreign policy precisely, but has an effect on the military, is that the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Navy directed the integration of females into the ground combat arms, even though the Marines did a 9-month study showing that mixed male-female units perform much worse than all male units in virtually every element of ground combat.
Oh, but science doesn't count when Marxism is infused.
Well, it's not even Marxism in this case, unfortunately. I wish it were. At least there'd be something coherent to focus on opposing. But
I will only disagree with you there, sir, because I know that the senators who pushed for that legislation happen to be communists. I'm sorry.
May I say something, Tom?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The late Justice Antonin Scalia said, quote, the Constitution is dead, dead, dead.
Yes, amen.
And I assert firmly, firmly, it's provable that this country is governed under international communitarian law. The same law which
yep.
governs the European Union
yep.
is the same law that has been brought into effect and force in this country. It's called communitarian law, and anyone can look it up. What is communitarianism? What is communitarian law? And how are they getting around the rule of law? Look it up. What is reflexive law? Everyone today has been compartmentalized.
A thousand cuts.
I mean, even Newsweek magazine, you know, they had a red hand on the cover of one of its issues a few years ago, shaking hands with a blue hand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you know, a little takeoff on that, socialist Marxist fist up in the air.
Yeah, and all the turtles,
we're all socialists now. We're all socialists now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this country's been lost, Dr. Sobrowski. It has been lost.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to get turned around is for the people to suffer. And I totally agree with you. We're going to have to suffer big time for anything to change. But I don't think anything's going to get changed. It's only going to get worse for a long damn time before it gets better. Because the top brass in the military has been brainwashed, and everybody in this country that is in the professional ranks, all you have to do is read the article, How the Federal Reserve Bought the Economics Profession, and we will learn very clearly how they took over all the professions. I'll leave it up to y'all to finish the show, Tom. Thanks.
Thank you, brother.
And who else do we have? Is Bill still there?
Bill, make it really quick. I'm sorry, brother.
Excellent, doctor. Appreciate it so much. Just wanted to mention, sure hoping that you have Rod Klass back again as soon as possible.
I will.
Only in regard to Lieutenant Commander Motor, U.S. Navy. He contacted the Liberty Institute and was successful in averting being thrown out of the Navy. I believe the combination of what the Liberty Institute is purporting and what Rod Klass has can be well used as a godly instrument. You have to walk in faith, gentlemen.
Thank you,
walking
sir.
In faith means each and every day we perform our duty to our fellow man. God bless you both.
God bless you, and thank you. And Dr. Sobrowski, I'm going to, with our last thought here before we end the show, are you familiar very much with General Albert Pike?
Who, please?
General Albert Pike, Confederate general. He said he was a high-ranking Freemason, which, if you know much about, it has its same all the same Babylonian origins that go right through the foundation of the State of Israel and all the way back. He said the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenture of the Illuminati between political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, which he said this in the 1800s, it had not been created yet, mutually destroy each other. Kind of funny. We see that happening right now. I urge you to check into General Albert Pike, sir. And I thank you for joining us tonight. It was an absolute pleasure. God bless you, and thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much, Tom. You take care of yourself.
You too. And for Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, we are doing a pledge drive. Call in. We have people at the phone lines right now ready to take your donations. We need to pay the bills, folks. We'll see you next time. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.
I'm not interested in...
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Republic.